Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. It's your host Chris here with Ro and Brandon, and we're here for a non-spoiler review of Jumanji: The Next Level, which is the sequel to. When did Welcome to the Jungle come out? Was that 2 years ago as well? I think they came out. Yeah, 2017. This is read the synopsis. In Jumanji: The Next Level, the gang is back, but the game has changed. At the return of actually one of their own, the players will have to brave parts unknown, from arid deserts to snowy mountains, to escape the world's most dangerous game. It's directed by Jake Kasdan, and also he wrote this as well. I think he also did the first, well, not the first one, but the first, I guess. So was that, I guess Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle was technically a sequel, right?
Sure.
Technically.
Yeah.
Remake-ish? Yeah.
Well, I don't think it was really remake-ish. I think they really kind of, yeah, it wasn't a remake. Because it definitely, the events of the first game definitely The events of the first movie definitely happened. So I would think that it would be counted as a sequel. So there's that. So what do you guys think of this movie?
I thought it was fun. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. I felt like it ran a little long, but I mean, it was a nice little sandbox game. I enjoyed watching it, and I want a Doom Buggy. And I also would like Ostrich.
Brandon?
Yeah. I mean, it's Jumanji. And somehow it's better than the last one, in my opinion. And that's mostly because they leaned really hard into putting The Rock and Kevin Hart together on screen and just letting them do whatever. But having a pretty solid introduction for this one, because you kind of watched the last one and it's like, yeah, okay. They're going to go back in. But what's going to be your story? What's going to be the reasoning? It's got to be something stupid, but not so stupid that people go, "Ugh, this is stupid." You know, they have to do something interesting. And we don't want to spend but so much time with the kids, because that's really not why we're here. Like, shout out to those kids for being able to be the kids at the beginning of all of these films, hopefully. But ultimately, you don't care about the actor's kid. You care about once they
damn.
Get it. You do though. Like, their name will live on in memory, but you don't. You're like, yeah, Beth was a little blonde haired girl, okay, but it doesn't matter now because she's Jack Black, or in this one she's something else. You know, that's all you care about. Once they get to that point, everything pretty much starts. But I think in this film, there's kind of a slow introduction, because they need to establish two new characters, Danny DeVito and Danny Glover. And I think they did a really good job of doing that, because that is really important when they get into the game again. And also, they didn't just throw them back into the same game. It really was like a sequel to a game series called Jumanji. Like, the first one was them getting used to some Tomb Raider-ish, Uncharted-type game. And in this one, they kind of continue with that, but it more turns into, like, it's still a role-playing thing, but it more turns into like a war epic type game. Like, it's got a, I don't know, man, it's got like a Viking of Thrones-ish feel to it with the way they did this one, which is a completely different story. So that was cool. And it does run a little long, but since it's funny throughout the whole film, you can kind of deal with that. I don't think they really wasted any characters with this either, because this film actually has way more characters after I thought about it riding the car than it probably should. But, you know, when people like Nick Jonas show up, it's fine. Like, they contribute to the story. They contribute to it going along. They add Awkwafina into this film. Shout out to her. She's having a great year. I mean, ultimately, it's just a fun-ass movie, and I'm very perplexed at why critics are so bothered by a film that really doesn't require you to do much thinking. I get that it's the end of the year, and people are tired of seeing films. So, like, your review of this film don't really matter, because the audience that goes to see this, that's going to pay to go see this movie, I have no doubt that they're going to enjoy the shit out of this movie. They know what to expect. They saw the first one. They're coming back for the second one. And this one doesn't dip below all of the great things about the first one. It actually realizes itself, actualizes that shit even more, and pushes forward and adds some new elements. So, you know, if you like the first film, you're going to love this one. And pretty much, I think I'm a fan of this series. Like, I'm just a fan of this series now. I'm completely down with a third one.
I think critics didn't like this movie because they're trying to make it. They're trying too hard. Like, they didn't go in and just to go have fun. They didn't. This is a video game movie. It's a board game movie. They put those two things together and did a really good job of finding a way to give you a reason to go back without belaboring the point. And they found reasons for you to invest in the characters in these bodies that are avatars without belaboring the point. And they remembered that it's a board game and it's supposed to be a game. I love the NPCs who were in here this time. I like the fact that everybody's board came up and they weren't exactly duplicates of the last time. And they had new reasons, and there were elements that kind of were, again, hat tips to the original without feeling like they were just stealing. So, I mean, I don't know what the hell critics expected from this movie. I thought it was fun. I think it's appropriate for the age group. It had less genocidal elements in it than Maleficent 2. So, I mean, that's an upside if you're trying to look for an actual family film. I had fun. And I only felt like it ran a little long because, you know, this is one of those movies where you have the, you know, the Disney level of in peril. So you're not really in danger. So everything's going to wrap up in some kind of way that's satisfactory, even if it's messed up. So I don't know what they were expecting. I think that they stayed in their wheelhouse nicely, and I think they played well. I didn't think it was too many characters. I thought just as soon as they were overplaying one, they brought in somebody else to relieve it and move things forward. So I was kind of okay with that.
Yeah, I think the it's a weird thing. There are a lot of films, and again, these the two Jumanji films so far have been way better than these. A lot of films, I think, that as a critic, you have to go into understanding, giving them credit for understanding what kind of film they are. Now, there are a lot of films that do that. I'll just take the good ones, right? John Wick. John Wick knows what it is. It knows why you're here. It's going to give you a bunch of that and go over the top with it, right? In John Wick 2, they try to give more, too much more story, and we were like, all right, we like it, but nigga, you know what we're here for. We're here for to see John Wick killing people. And they were like, all right, cool. John Wick 3 came around. They're like, we got you. Jumanji's the same way. It's like, you know what you're here for. And they do a good enough job with the kids up front, because it's the same thing as the first one. You don't care enough about them to really hear more about them. And they know you're not here for them. So as soon as you get in the game, you're now dealing with who you're here for. You're here to see Jack Black. Is it Karen Gillan?
Karen Gillan.
Yeah, Karen Gillan, Dwayne Johnson, and Kevin Hart. You're here for them. And the great thing about Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson here, and Kevin Hart usually annoys the shit out of me, what works really well for him and Dwayne Johnson in this film is while they look the same as the first movie, they're being played differently. And we'll get into more into that in the spoiler of why that is. And because of that, it works. It gets another element over top of what the first one did, because you're seeing more sides of them. And it's funnier, and it makes sense. And like you said, their avatars are who the person that they're playing in real life is. And it works really well out. And I don't know. I think some critics just don't want to give movies credit for that kind of stuff. But this film knows what it is. It knows what it is. It knows what the audience is there for. And it gives it to them. And to me, that's a sign of a good movie. It is. Like, what else were they supposed to do with this?
Exactly what they did, and including promising that they may possibly be considering coming full circle in a way that people have been hopeful for since the return to Jumanji.
They could have did a lot worse. I'm sorry. This could have been flagship shit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they could have tried to make us care about the kids more than they should have. They could have belabored that. They could have dragged it out.
Like, they tried to in the beginning, and then they were like, okay, time to get into the game. So they tried to build this bond, this kinship, this bond between these kids. And I'm like, I get it. They went through hell in the first game. So they're back again, and now they're friends for real in real life, even though they're four completely different personalities.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Right? Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. That the beginning of the movie, I was like, yo, I was like tapping my watch, like, come on, guys, let's keep it moving. Like, I don't give a fuck you about this shit.
why they're taking so long to do it? It's because of Danny DeVito's and Danny Glover's character. That's why it takes so long in the beginning. But I like the fact that they let the actors actually play around with this part of the film, kind of expand on their characters because they are avatars, right? So Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart and Jack Black get to try something new. Like, they really, really get to experiment with new expressions and new character types taking over their roles. I thought that was just funny. Like, I think they all did a great job. I will say that The Rock's version is good because it's so bad. It's so fucking bad that it's funny, because Awkwafina has to take that role on later and she's perfect at it. Like, she fucking nails it.
That's because she has a small, cranky white man deep inside just chilling.
She had it. Like, you could tell they like hung out offset and smoked cigars together. Like, she had that shit down. She studied that motherfucker.
I think that The Rock did too, and then realized that he had to become a different kind of caricature because he couldn't ground that just because his voice isn't going to do it. I think he just was like, I'm going to be ridiculous with this.
I just think he couldn't do it, so he just did whatever. I think he just stuck to some shit, like a true shtick, and just ran with it. And I was like,
but it worked because it was so stupid.
It's so bad. I was like, yo, where did he get this character from? But it's fine.
I was okay with it. I mean, maybe it's because he committed to it and he never deviated once he, you know, went with it. But coupled with Kevin Hart's channeling Glover.
That's not surprising because Kevin's done that before, making fun of people like that. So yeah. Doing it, I was like, oh yeah, he's going to nail this. This is like one of his things. He does this all the time.
But they picked the perfect character for that avatar to be. They picked the perfect avatar and skill set for him to be in for this particular journey. I know some of the descriptions of this movie, like, in the game, fight back. I was like, y'all don't play RPGs, do you? Because the game, this is the next level. I'm like, they went to a different part of the sandbox. What is your problem here? But I felt like it really worked with what they had him doing in the moments that they had to play against each other and into each other. Chris, I don't know what it is with critics when it comes to these kinds of movies. I think sometimes their arrogance gets the better of them. And it's at the end of the year too. I thought this was a great palate cleanser for me, having to watch all these dark ass, sad ass dramas and four-year considerations. Oh, yeah. It was a perfect timing for me.
I think it's going to also benefit from the same thing they did last time in 2017, where the first one came out right before Star Wars did too, just like this film is. Star Wars comes out next week, and it's one of the few times I've seen, and it made a lot of money too. I think it benefits from the thing of people who don't want to see Star Wars or Star Wars out, need something to go see. This is it. It's one of the few times when, like, we'll see how well the second one does, but I think people are going to enjoy this one. I know people are going to enjoy it just as much as the first one, so it should do financially pretty well like the last one did. So, yeah, this is one of those ones that, honestly, we'll get more into when we do spoilers, but, like, non-spoiler-wise, there's not a whole lot to say about it other than, yeah, you know why you're here, and they give you more of why you were probably coming to see it in the first place. And I got to give them credit that they didn't fall into the, like, for a sequel, you got to give them credit and keeping it fresh. They could have easily gone right back to the same well, not have changed anything up, not have added a new dynamic, and it felt stale. Here, they added new elements in. They changed things up. They actually even make that comment of that in the movie when they get into the game. They're like, wait, oh, we know what we're doing, we did this last time, and it turns out it's not like the last time. You know, and that's exactly what they did here. And so, yeah, I think it enjoyed it. I think most people who are going to go see this are going to enjoy it, and it works out. So, yeah.
I had fun. And I mean, I was in a room full of kids who were laughing and having a good time, and their parents weren't dialed out. People weren't trying to talk over the movie. So when it comes to family movies, that's also a pretty big sign for me that at least you kind of hit your sweet spot at a minimum for that. I think people should go see it. I don't know what the hell is wrong with critics. I think they just don't have any, they just don't know how to have fun anymore.
Yeah. What do you guys give it out of 10?
I'm an 8.
Yeah, I'm an 8.
I'm an 8 out of 10. Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm about an 8. Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's right there in line with the first one. If you, and I know a lot of people, like, I'm not gonna lie, when the first one came out, I was like, I don't know why you guys are doing this. I don't know if this is gonna work. And it really surprised me. So I wasn't even really watching trailers for this because I already knew that I was gonna go and want to watch it and see it. Because, you know, like I said, the Rock and Kevin Hart work out pretty well together anyway. But the way they do it in this one, I think, it just stands out. So, anything else you guys want to say about this? Or wrap it up?
This is the first time, I think, for one of the action movies outside of John Wick, I didn't feel like the trailer showed me all the best parts of the movie.
I can believe that. Because you know what? It's another thing, too, of having confidence. Like, this is one of those ones, like, we talk a lot about Sony sometimes, especially when it came to Spider-Man and stuff like that, not being confident in certain things. Sony's confident in this. They're confident in Jumanji because it worked for them that, I mean, again, I think the first one made like $900 million. It was almost a $1 billion film, I believe. Am I making that up?
No, I don't think you are.
Yeah, I'm looking that up now. I gotta see. Yeah, did a worldwide total of $962 million. You know, I mean, it did $400 million of that domestic. You know, so and honestly, the critic scores aren't that far off from the first one. The first one they scored at 76, so right now they're at 69. So, you know, some critics just have ticks up their ass.
Well, they don't understand video game. They don't actually understand what is good translation of a board game or video game to screen. Like, if you go back and look at some of the scores they have for those types of movies, the ones that they give good scores to are usually the ones that when the people see them say, that's not even a game, that's trash.
I'm glad you brought the last thing, and then we'll get off and we'll do the spoiler review. But again, still, it's up there in my best video game movies. It just is. Even though it technically, between this and Ready Player One, and these are two movies that are technically not video games, but do video games better than video game movies do. So,
right.
I'm just saying, it's not hard.
It's the approach. The approach has to be that they're making a movie and giving it elements of a video game versus we're making a video game and giving it movie elements. I think that transition for some people is, for video games, is just fucking difficult. I don't know why it's so damn difficult when video games have storylines and have plots and have writers, have voice actors. I don't know why the adaptation of them into movies, that transition is so goddamn hard. But for some reason, when they want to add video game elements into a movie, they do it. It usually works. It works very well. Like you said, Ready Player One, but even Edge of Tomorrow. Those movies take video game elements and throw them into play, and people who play video games get them, and people who don't play video games, they understand what's happening. They don't necessarily, they might necessarily get the relation, but they understand it enough. And if later you go, that's what video games do, they're go, oh, okay, that's cool. Like they weren't looking for it. The expectations are different. So whereas they try to take something like World of Warcraft and turn it into a fucking movie, and it's not good. I don't care how much China loved it, it's not good. Wait, they take another film like this, or even like Detective Pikachu, and you know the film is what it is, but for some reason they were able to balance the fact that it's a movie first with video game elements and video game characters in it afterwards. That just works. Ready Player One is just an homage to a fucking fan culture and video game culture period, so they knew what they were doing. With this one, they took elements of video game and board game and put them in a movie.
But RP1 had a roadmap. They had the book. This was a little harder because, like, from the board game to also wanting to honor and keep some of the original elements from the first movie, I really think it worked because they wrote a story that's kind of the same way that you would get if you were rolling, if you had to roll die, if you were picking your players. So they took some more old school elements for board games and tabletop, and they used that to build up from, and then pulled the video game elements in that were fit for the time period for the kind of game that this would have been. And then they said, okay, what story works with this? Other ways, like Warcraft doesn't work because the story they tried to build around the elements that they wanted to take from the game was stupid. And some of the people who they cast were bad. But even for Ready Player One, there are some people who say it's oversaturated, it had too much. Clearly, they never read the book to realize how much they left out. But when it comes to these types of movies, it's exactly what you said, Brandon. They either go with one of the two ways that works, or they flip the script and try to do all this other stuff and then shellac it on top and say, hey, great, it's called your video game. It's kind of like another movie we had this year where someone thought all they had to do was shellac some elements on it and then gaslight the world and tell them that they made a comic movie. But it's the same reason why those other movies fail and this one didn't. They never tried to be anything other than Jumanji. Yep. And I think they just give you more of what would work in a Jumanji game the second time around with more fun, because they had more things to play with, because we have at least a familiarity with the people. So they could be a little louder, a little more bombastic, and they could do a couple of little bit more parts of the missions that they didn't necessarily do in the first time because now people know the rules.
Yeah.
I think you can tell the difference when a team of writers and producers and everybody working on a project actually enjoys the project they're working on, from the actors all the way down to the room, to the like the boardroom or whatever, where they lay everything out scene by scene. You can tell they enjoy making these movies. And I don't know what everybody else, if everybody else can pick this up when they go to the theaters, but I can absolutely tell when someone is enjoying the film that they made, or if they're just doing this shit because they have to do it. And there are some elements they might like, but for the most part, some studio is on their back to get some shit finished. And that's what happens. So that's the product you end up getting. A jumbled bag of dicks of a movie that doesn't connect at all, and I'm stuck watching this bullshit, and then I'm supposed to review it as if it's entertaining. And because everybody walks in and leaves their brain at the door in place for a bag of popcorn, they act like it's okay. Yes, Maleficent is what I'm talking about. Because what it, like, seeing films like this makes me so upset at films like that. And not even just Maleficent. Hobbs and Shaw has continued to slide down my list this year as a movie that I dislike more and more as I think about having to sit through that shit. And then seeing this didn't help. It didn't help at all, because The Rock could have done better. The film around him could have been better. Hobbs and Shaw didn't need to be what it fucking was. And
always knew that movie was going to be a meathead film. We all know it should have been more about Idris Elba's character anyway. So I get that.
Part of it I'm fine with. But, like, you wasted three solid action actors in a film together. You wasted Idris Elba. Like, that's just, to me, and him being a badass Idris Elba, too, the elements were right there. Some of the stuff worked and some of it didn't. And then you look at Jumanji, and the casting is all over the goddamn place. Little short black dude, big swole Samoan black dude, fat Jack White, skinny ass Karen Gillian, who's also action-packed, you know, and then you add in Awkwafina and Danny DeVito and Danny Glover. And it fucking works. It works because they cared about this movie. That's why it works. So, yeah, if you don't actually put some life and feeling into your structure, your movie's probably not going to be that fucking good. And we're going to be here to tell you it ain't. So, Jumanji, I feel like we're getting some solid series and films now. I'm looking forward to John Wick 4. I'm looking forward to Jumanji 3 if we get one. I'm not looking forward to Jurassic whatever the fuck when that comes out. Like, that's the stuff I'm not looking forward to because they don't actually care about that shit. And it's going to be a very interesting conversation if we get the Jumanji film that could possibly be the next one and if it were to maybe drop the same time as that next Jurassic World film. Yeah. Because you're going to get to actually compare similar concepts at that point and who executed it better. And we already know who my money is going to be on.
Yeah. So, all right, folks, make sure you sign up for our MTR premium account, premium.mtrnetwork.net. And you can hear us talk, spoiler reviews for, Jumanji, The Next Level. You'll also be able to hopefully get a spoiler review for Bombshell and 1917 coming soon as well. So just stay tuned. Make sure you guys also subscribe to just movie trailer reviews. We have more movie reviews coming out. I think next week we'll be having the non-spoiler review for Star Wars and a spoiler review coming shortly after that as well. So stay tuned. Thank you guys very much for listening. Until next time, we're out of here. Peace.